changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
All right, we are continuing our conversation about becoming an abuse victor. And I just one more time to set all this up. Somewhere between 1 in 4 and 1 in 2 people have been physically, emotionally, sexually, verbally abused to the point that it has caused damage to their life, to their personality, to who they are in the world. They are living out this post-traumatic stress disorder, basically, and they are living a bit askew in the world because life has sort of, well, the analogy I keep using is has broken their, not broken, but scratched their record. So today we want to continue this conversation, and we've already talked about naming it, going back and looking, and if you were indeed abused, one of the worst things you can do is to minimize it. One of the worst things you can do is to say, oh, it wasn't that bad. Oh, it wasn't, you know, such a big deal. Because it will then come out sideways. One of the things that Beverly Engel's book, The Emotionally Abusive Relationship, talks about is that if you have been emotionally abused or physically abused or sexually abused or in any way, I'm trying to get myself, there we go, or in any way abused, there's a very good chance you have one of two choices as you get older. And that is you will either get into an abusive relationship or you will abuse someone else in a relationship. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be as abusive as your primary abuser was. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be abusive in the same ways you were. For example, sometimes people who are sexually abused, they carry this rage inside of them. And that's why we talked about yesterday, the necessity to feel it. And so they can actually become verbally and emotionally and even physically abusive for having contained all that rage inside of them. So I'm leading up to something at some point, and I've said this, not at some point, but I've said several times, the reason I really like this book is that she talks about that there are no monsters. And the reason there are no monsters is that abuser was first and foremost abused. An abuser was a person who was abused, him or herself, and then grows up and then does this. That's number one. Number two, an abuser does not realize they are abusing. I recommended the movie This Boy's Life with Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio. I sat down and watched half of it again last night. The thing about an abuser, a person especially who is verbally and emotionally abusive, is that person never realizes they're being abusive. In fact, and this is the crazy thing, okay, you ready for this? A person who has been abused walks around with this empty void inside of them. And so they are constantly looking for other people to try and fill that void, which the void being internal can never be filled by other people. But because that void is not filled by another person, the abused person tends to then blame them and feel as if they are the victim. So let me re-explain this. Again, if you watch the movie This Boy's Life, at the end when Ellen Barkin and Leonardo DiCaprio run away from Dwight. And by the way, it was interesting because I rewatched it, like I said, last night. And the setup of the movie was the reason they were in Seattle was because she had been abused before. So there is this pattern before. If you've been abused as a child, chances are you're going to abuse as an adult. The other thing is, or be abused. The other thing is that because you're still carrying the wounds of being victimized as a child, you still feel like a victim in life. You still feel like life is not giving me what I deserve. Life continues to hurt me. Life is never giving me enough. Robert De Niro has this wonderful thing at the end where he starts screaming, when's it going to be my turn? When's it going to be my turn? Now, remind you that he is the abuser here. He's the bad guy. He's the antagonist. He's the one that's being mean and hurtful. And he wants to know, when's it going to be my turn? So in other words, abusers, just take this in and breathe. And I read your comments, and I know that what I'm saying is triggering several of you, and that's okay. I invite you to read this book, The Emotionally Abusive Relationship. Abusers, number one, are repeating a cycle of abuse that they are trapped in because they don't realize they are doing it. It's called a repetition compulsion. The more you say you don't want to be like your parents, more likely you are. Not necessarily, but it can be. We get trapped in that. Number two, abusers don't literally know they're abusing. They don't realize it. Number three, abusers feel like they themselves are being abused by life. They continue to see themselves as victims, and no one is ever caring enough for them. I say all this because at some point, we need to forgive our abusers. We need to forgive the people who have hurt us. Now, yesterday, we talked about feeling it. We talked about digging up those feelings of hurt and anger and everything else, feeling your anger, really feeling it. And then the next step is you've got to understand the person. And this is hard. I sat down and wrote out some of the things that my dad had to endure as a child. And man, nowhere near as bad. My life was nowhere near as bad as his life. My grandfather, he was a gambler and a whiskey runner, and he came home basically to loot the money from the family and beat everybody, including my grandmother, and then he would be gone for weeks at a time. So my father, at the age of 5, was out selling newspapers just to keep the family alive. My dad used to tell me about having to burn newspapers to try and kill the bed bugs under their beds. They'd have to wave a burning newspaper. My grandfather owned a juke joint, which is like a unlicensed bar out in the woods. And it used to get robbed all the time. So he made my dad spend the night on the floor behind the bar at the age of 12 with a shotgun with instructions to shoot anybody who came in. Spent 2 years there. These are just some of the examples. And my grandfather, my dad spanked me. I say he whipped me. My grandfather just out and out punched people, pulled a gun on my grandmother several times in front of my father. What I'm saying is that I don't excuse my father's behavior. He was responsible for his behavior. And remember, take the word responsible and break it down. He was able to respond. He never did. And I forgive him for that. Yesterday, I spent a long time writing about this, thinking about this, and saying that he deserves to be forgiven. I actually talked it over with my daughter because she knows a lot about my life. And I said, you know what? Because she doesn't want to forgive him. Because he hurt me, which is sweet. But I told her, I said, you know what? We deserve to be lightened by forgiving. So step number three is to understand why the person did what they did. Do your best to understand it. Do research. Try and dig into that person's life if you can. And try and understand it. I know this is hard. I know that we so want to vilify people who have been in many ways villains. And yet there's a higher level. We can't release ourselves and our own souls until we begin to understand how tortured they are. I realized that my dad was in an enormous amount of pain his entire life. He had to have been inflicting pain on pretty much everybody. So if you've been victimized or abused, I want you to take some time and really think about why. Why did this person do this? And if you're dealing with they were mean, they were terrible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, sure, yeah, I get it. Dig deeper. They were broken. They were in pain. Remember, it's hurt people who hurt people. So do your best to try and understand it. It's for your own healing. And because I said healing, it's time for everybody to share. Click share if you would, and then type share in the comment box so that we can spread this positive message. We can have, think about how many jump starters we're going to have next year now that we've been doing this for a year. This is awesome. Ashley says, I'm grateful for my Irish heritage and culture. Willow says, me too. Grandma Flynn Dougal, that's awesome. Forgiveness is such a healing. Yeah, it's funny because I have done forgiveness exercises for my dad many, many times. Y'all go ahead and post your comments. Who's the first one to share? Meemaw is. Who's going to be next? I have done these forgiveness exercises with my dad, but it was kind of like, I forgive you. I do. I forgive you. You're a bad person, but I forgive you. And this time it was like, why'd you do this? Why would you do this? And then when I looked at it and really looked at it, I was like, well, of course you did. You really had very little choice in the matter. You deserve to be forgiven. You deserve to be forgiven. Barbara Jo says, I recognize it hypervigilantly when I notice it. So now trying to find a way to help those that are complaining, being rude, abusive. Well, spread today's jumpstart. Get him to take the complaint-free challenge. I was going to say the complaint-free Johnson because I saw that Jerome had shared. That's so funny. Barbara Jo says, share it. Who else is going to share? Let's carry this positive message. Willow, Kathy, Ashley, this is awesome. Thanks, everybody. We're going to get back together tomorrow and continue this. Like I said, this is going to be a week. So tomorrow we're going to talk about how to release it. And we're going to talk about specifics of forgiveness tomorrow. We're going to talk about specific things you can do to forgive people who have harmed you in the past and also to forgive yourself. Because that's one of the challenges. The Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith says that all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. And I've batted that around, and then I realized there's a part of me that has to forgive that little boy. Because as an adult, I'm mad that he didn't stand up to this belt-wielding psychopath. So tomorrow we'll talk more about forgiveness. Today, get out there and enjoy life. It's a beautiful day. Get your vaccine if you can. And otherwise, stay safe. I'm continuing to wear my mask, and you should too. Enjoy today. Love you all. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high.